Go ahead and open with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you would. We're going to be spending our time in about two, three verses tonight from 1 Timothy as we continue on in our study, and we're going to be in verse 6 through 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 through 8. It says this: "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." So if you'll remember, last week we covered the verses prior to this, and really the topic has not changed in which Paul is discussing here. Last week we talked about what was going on, and that was that false teachers were coming into the church and proclaiming false truths. Back from chapter 1, that's what he discussed, what they were bringing in. And at the end of the sermon last week, and at the end verse, he talked about really what their desire was inside of their poor teachings and false teachings. And that was they were bringing their false gospel, they were bringing all their false knowledge with the heart condition and the purpose of worldly gain. And that there was no godliness in them, that there was no salvation within them. They were of depraved mind, and that their only desire was themselves and to make much of themselves and to gain. And so now Paul is going to give the rebuttal and is going to give the truth of the matter to us in these verses 6 through 8. And if you look at verses 6 through 8, as we just read, every once in a while, there are pieces of scripture that you almost could just read the scripture and just read it again and then just have about a 10-minute time of silence, because the scripture is so black and white, and really just the scripture just kind of rips through you in its own, that you really don't need much on it because of just the intensity in which the verses speak for themselves. And so verses 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world." So if you just stop with that verse alone, or those verses alone, and you really begin to think about that, even just on your own thought process. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I brought nothing in. I'm taking nothing out. What is that referring to? Anything, any possessions I might acquire inside of this world. And if you just sit inside of that and you really just begin to think, so much of our lives, if we're just being honest, is really about acquiring something during this world. From physical things, property, physical things that are going to bring us joy and happiness and excitement. And it's not that those things are necessarily wrong inside themselves, but we spend a lot of time going after those things. Some things that we simply need, like shelter, food, to take care of ourselves. We also pursue things in this world that aren't necessarily material, but we pursue things that are going to bring us certain emotions that we desire to grab a hold of. And then when we look at this verse, and what it's really saying is, really, godliness is what you're going to pursue if you're pursuing eternal things here. Why? Because eternal things are what are going to matter for all of eternity. And if it isn't eternal, if it's not godly, it's not going with you. So then why are you pursuing it? Why are you making much of it? Then it's really just the black and white issue that it's discussing. And you don't have to look very far in your own life. I know at least I don't have to look very far in mine to say there's absolutely things that I give great priority to, great importance. My heart goes out to things that aren't eternal and that aren't going with me. And I'm not talking about just, once again, the daily bread aspect of things. I'm talking about the abundance of which I want more and more. I'm talking about the abundance in which I want to do fun things that will please my flesh. And they're not bad things, but just enjoyable things that I don't need, but they're fun and they're exciting for me, so I pursue them and they grab hold of my heart. And the real question to even begin to wrestle with isn't, can I make excuses for why I can do such and such? But the real question is, how badly am I trying to pursue godliness in my life and put everything in the proper place it deserves to be? That's the wrestling match to take care of. Because the scriptures aren't asking you to go live in a cave where all you eat is bread and then you have water and every once in a while you come out to society to preach the gospel, then you go back to your cave to suffer. That's not what this verse is preaching. That's not what we're talking about. And so simply having things is not wrong. But the question is this idea of contentment. And that's why it's so foundational, this idea of godliness with contentment is great gain, because you're only going to take out what you brought in. You brought in nothing. And so it's not that these things are inherently wrong, but it is the pursuit of these things over godliness, the pursuit of contentment and fulfillment in these things over godliness, that is wrong. And that's where the battle begins. That's where the battle is going to stay. We're going to sit inside of this wrestling match all of our lives. In verse 8, but if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. You're going to find out in your life, and those who have lived longer have already gone through this, but there's going to be seasons where you have plenty, and there's going to be seasons where you have little. And inside of both of those seasons, there's going to be struggles with different desires of contentment. When you have plenty, there's going to be the desire to simply go after more inside of greediness. There's going to be the desire to find fulfillment inside of what you already have because it is plenty, and not find your contentment in the Lord and be willing to sacrifice what he's asked you. And when you have little, your desire is going to say, this isn't enough. Even if it meets my needs, I need more. And to pursue it, the Lord is not good inside of this. And there's going to be that fight. There's going to be the fight of, is the Lord truly there for me if he's put me in the current situation that I am in? And if you look around, you'll see the Lord constantly taking care of you. There's been, in my short life, there's been many seasons where something drastic has came in the way of taking care of my finances. And I can always look back, and I can always look back to see how my needs were taken care of. And there was a great contentment if I was willing to seek the Lord in whatever situation he brought me to. And I remember the first time it happened and the second time wrestling with this idea of, is the Lord really going to take care of me in this situation and in this season? And one of the greatest things I found was that if I truly wanted to live abundantly in the Lord, it was going to be in the seasons where there was lacking and in the seasons where there was plenty, the Lord was enough. And he was my contentment. And that's going to be the pursuit in both seasons of life that you go through. Is the Lord enough? And is he your contentment alone? That's the wrestling match. And so when we come back to first verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So if we want to know what contentment is and how we can go after contentment, we have to understand what godliness is. And not just understand what godliness is, but understand the value of pursuing godliness. Because there are two different things. You can understand what godliness is. There's plenty of people who can explain to you in some rough sort of way what it means to be godly. But the question is, what value do you have in godliness? Because the Christian life of pursuing holiness and godliness isn't about being able to take a test and write down what describes godliness. It is, how are you walking out and living the life pursuing godliness? Because the way that you work it out will show you the value in which you put godliness in. It isn't about just what you can say. It isn't about what comes out of your mouth. It's what are you walking inside of? Because that's what's going to tell what you truly believe in. If I am someone who wants to work out, and I talk about the value of what it means to work out, but I don't go to the gym. I haven't been in the gym in months. But I come to you and I say, I believe so much in working out. I mean, it is a foundational piece of my life that if I don't get to it, then I don't get my day started right or anything. And someone asked me, well, when was the last time you went? And I said, well, it was like 6 months ago. I went once. They're going to look at me and say, then you don't truly value working out. It doesn't mean much to you. It can't mean much to you if you're not willing to sacrifice for it, if you're not really to actually walk inside of what you're saying. So this idea of godliness, it's great if you can define it. It's great if you can tell me how to pursue godliness. It's great if you can point me to some scriptures that discuss godliness. It's great if we can talk about the fact that Ephesians, for the second half of the book, literally just tells you what a life of godliness looks like. That's fantastic. But are you walking it out and are you desiring to walk it out? Because that's where the weight is. Nobody should care that you can talk the talk. That's nice if it's not being backed up by the walk. And so do you value godliness? And then is it displayed and shown with your life? So godliness is a devotion to God that results in a life that is pleasing to him. John MacArthur has a great quote. Says this: godliness is a right attitude and response toward the true Creator God, a preoccupation from the heart with holy and sacred realities. It is respect for what is due to God and is thus the highest of all virtues. So what is it? It's looking and seeing who God truly is, as far as we can know, in our small minds, and saying, because of who he is and what he did, my life should look to point towards him and to walk with him and to look like him. Why? Because of the proper honor that he has owed and for the life that he has given me, I now walk in this. I walk in desiring to look like God. And then in application, it's this awareness of God in every aspect of life. And that's where we start talking. It's the difference between talking about it and walking it out. It's great if you can come in here on a Thursday and a Tuesday and Sunday and talk about what godliness is and talk about how godly you want to be. You have prayer requests of godliness. That's absolutely great. But how has it pierced every area of your life? How have you opened up your heart and your mind to the Lord to say, every area is yours. There's no aspect of my life that is mine anymore. You have the ability to come in and wreck me so that I can know you greater and walk greater with you. There's nowhere off bounds. Lord, I need to look like you. So let me walk that out. That's godliness. That is the beginning foundation of what godliness, every aspect of life revolving around him. How you spend your money revolves around him. Did you know that you can honor the Lord with how you spend your money? You can honor the Lord with the extra money that you get that isn't going to bills, isn't going to anything. So you have this extra money. You have $200 that's just yours at the end of the month, and you can do whatever you want with it. You can honor him with that money. It isn't just yours, so now go do whatever you want. There's a way to honor him, and there's a way to dishonor him. There's a way to live godly with that money. There's a way to live ungodly with that money. You get to decide. That's walking it out. The way that you decide to work inside of your job, and we just had a sermon a few weeks ago about how you work. There's a way to do it godly, and there's a way to do it ungodly, and it matters. Because it's an aspect of your life in which you get to show others Christ. You get to walk in godliness. As you're making all your decisions for your life, there's ways to do it godly. The question is there awareness in every area of your life of godliness and of desiring godliness? And then do you walk that out? I cannot press upon you enough the difference between talking it versus walking it. If you have been in Christianity long enough, you will get so tired of the spiritual aspect of people just talking for the sake of talking, doing these types of realities and talking about how good God is. If God is so good, why are you not doing something with your life about that? Why is it not reflecting that? If God hates sin so much, why is your life not reflect that? Because you plenty tell me all the time how much God hates sin. But you seem to love it. But you talk about your love for him, but you don't hate sin. So what are you doing with that? Godliness in every aspect of life. And it's not this idea of perfection. It is this idea of pursuit and desire of it. I'm going to pursue and I'm going to desire godliness in ways I didn't yesterday. And I hope that when I wake up tomorrow, I say, I'm going to pursue godliness and holiness in a way that I didn't yesterday. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I pray that I might understand godliness in a way that I didn't yesterday. By the searching of the word, by prayer, by discussions with others, by seeking out information so that I can know this word better. Why? Because I can't afford to miss out on this pursuit of godliness. Why can't you miss out? Because the scripture tells us godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what the gain is. Godliness. So you want some gain? Go after godliness. If you want to be content, go after godliness. Why? Because the scripture tells us to. Why? Because that's where life is found. That's his walk for you. That's what he has for you. If you want to know what his will is for you, it's to pursue godliness. Start there. And when you can honestly say, I'm pursuing godliness with my walk, you then can move on to say, okay, then what are some other wills of God that I can start working on? Because he's revealed plenty to you, so start with godliness. Because I know I can at least speak for myself and say there is still so much room to grow in my daily life for pursuing this godliness with everything in me. There are still days where I wake up and my flesh is crying out, don't pursue it today. Just pursue laziness today. That sounds a whole lot better. Why? Because there seems in my flesh to be a contentment in laziness. There seems to be in my flesh a contentment with greed. And so in the moment, my flesh is crying out and it's screaming out and saying, no, those are the things that are gain for you. And it's in those moments of fighting, of saying, no, but godliness, pursuing godliness is gain. It's the only thing that brings contentment. Godliness. Godliness. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. We're just going to read one verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What's he saying? Come before the Lord, lay down your life and all of it as a sacrifice, as now a servant, obedient to the Father. Why? Because of the grace in which he gave you. Why? Because of the life that he gave you. Why? Because of the love that he has for you. Lay down your life. Just lay it all down and be a servant, following and obeying him. Psalms. Turn with me to Psalms. Psalms chapter 1. Verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its seasons, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. Why does he prosper? Because his delight is found in the Lord. Why does he gain? Because his contentment is found in godliness. Delight yourself in the word. When he says the law, you got to remember, in the Old Testament, they didn't have this New Testament. And so he's speaking of just the Word of God. Delight yourself in it. Delight yourself in the Scriptures of God that gives you the commands of how to be obedient to him. And why? Because he's showing you the opposite of worldliness, the opposite of sin, the opposite of evil is the pursuit of the Lord, is the obedience to the law, is the desire to live righteousness. They're direct opposites. You cannot have one over the other. You cannot pursue evil. You cannot pursue worldliness and be pursuing this at the exact same time. So he's saying, delight yourself in this. Why? Because he knows in your flesh you're going to desire to delight yourself in the things of this world. It's what we do with our flesh. We desire that. It feels great to pursue the flesh, to feed into that. He's saying, but delight yourself in the Word of God. Run to the Word of God. That's why Paul in Philippians chapter 3 and in chapter 4, what's he say throughout all of it? I mean, he's screaming this in the third and fourth chapter. He's saying, everything but Christ is nothing. Christ is everything. He's my only gain. I had everything and I gladly gave it up for Christ. I gladly gave it up for the life and the fulfillment and the contentment that is found in Christ. He gets into chapter 4 and he says, I've had plenty, I've had lack. And guess what? In both seasons, I had Christ, and it was good. It was plenty. And so he says, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for providing for me. Because what? I've learned something. I've learned something walking with Christ, that no matter what season I'm in, having Christ is what matters. Having Christ is my gain. Having Christ is my contentment. It is my fulfillment. It is my peace. It is my joy. It is my everything. That's my life now. And then Romans 12, therefore, lay down your bodies as living sacrifices for him because of the mercies in which he's given you. Paul's crazy about it because he's found something. Christ is what he needs, and the world will not provide what Christ does. The world will not provide you fulfillment. Your fleshly desires will not provide you contentment. It is not gain. And he warns us of something else. Turn with me back to 1 Timothy. He warns us in chapter 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. He warns us of this. Godliness without the aspect of faith and in Christ has no value. So godliness has value, but morality and religion for religion's sake has no value. And you have to get that because there's going to be times and there's going to be people who, outside of Christ, who desire to pursue morality and pursue a false sense of godliness for the sake of just being moral, for the sake of just being religious, thinking that there is gain inside of that. And without Christ, without godliness coming from faith, faith alone, godliness grants nothing. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, I encourage you to look it up. It's impossible to please God without faith. So your greatest act grants nothing, gives nothing. If it does not come from faith, it has no benefit for you. And so your godliness must come from a heart of faith, from a mind of faith, from the gospel, from Christ, or else there's nothing in it. Even inside of Christianity, even inside of being saved, there can be times where my heart gets so turned that I believe that I come in favor with God more than I was by the cross alone because of my religious acts. And I can begin to stop working through faith, desiring godliness from a faith aspect, from the desire to grow in godliness for eternality, and I can begin to do it for my flesh so that I can feel proud and boast over others. So I can twist my heart and my flesh can feed into the idea of because I'm more moral, because I'm more holy than others, and it's no longer about godliness, it's no longer about God, it's just about me being better than everybody else, I will pursue certain things. And it's a heart condition, even for the saved, of saying, I can only do this by God and by God alone, and my godliness only comes from faith. My godliness only comes from the grace of the gospel. There's nothing I did inside of it. And in fact, every aspect of righteousness that I do have is only there because of the working of the Holy Spirit in my life. That's it. And what that's going to do is as I pursue godliness, it's going to humble me time and time again. Because the more you realize the only godliness that's in your life is because of the working of the Holy Spirit and the cross of Christ, the more humble you will remain as you do more eternal things, as you grow in your godliness. Why? Because it's not about your ability to produce godliness. It's about God's working in your life in the cross of Christ. And so the heart of a saved pursues godliness from faith, pursues godliness from the gospel, from the cross. What happens then is that we begin to lose contentment when godliness is not our pursuit, and when we do not value godliness to be our whole gain. And really what this becomes, and I have it on your paper, is this idea of we begin to covet. And what coveting really is I desire something that is not mine. I desire to and yearn and I need something. And so I yearn to have something. I desire something so much that I lose my contentment in God, because what I'm saying is God is not enough anymore, and so I need something additional to him. Or another way to say it, because I don't know if we purposely ever in our mind say God is not enough. I don't think that's really a conscious thought of ours very often. But I think what does happen is that as I lose my contentment in my pursuit of God and godliness, I then desire and I need something additional from that. Because what I do think is, once again, going from talk and going into action, when I look at the things that I've walked out in my life, when I look at the things that I pursue with my action, what my time displays I'm going after, there is sometimes a cry of saying, my contentment is no longer found in God, and it's found in desiring and chasing something else. Why? Because I can look back at my actions and say, that is it. And I can fool everybody else, but I can't fool my God, and I can't fool myself if I'm being honest with myself. My actions portray and they show a heart that is not fully content in God. And because I'm not fully content, I'm not pursuing that contentment, I'm not pursuing that as my only gain, I'm willing to chase after something else. God is a jealous God, and God is a God that desires and will have all of you. All of you. He doesn't share. Because for him to share, and this is important, for him to share you with anything else is to not love you. For him to be selfish and ask all of you is the most loving thing he can do. And what's scary is there's times that we don't believe that. There's times when we aren't getting something that we think God must not love me because he hasn't given me something. And how scary and how sad and how deplorable is that thought? To think that the God of the universe who knows all, who loves you above all, who knows what is best for you, is him utterly and completely for everything. For you to look at him and say, you aren't enough and you must not even care about me because you're not giving me something. But that's what we do in our hearts, and it is terrible. But the beautiful thing inside of that is God, in his love for you, at times will say, then go and pursue that and find out how empty that is, and I will still be here. I will still be chasing after you, and I will still walk with you, and I pray, and you will be broken of that. You will see the emptiness in that, and you'll come back to me. And that's the growing experience of the Christian. The growing experience of, I have pursued things, I've found out that they're empty, and I've came back to God, who's welcomed me with open arms, and who has said, I do offer you contentment. It is great gain. But stop pursuing those other things. But the issue is so many of us still find there to be a great value and a great gain in pursuing those other things. So many of us in our flesh still see God as this unloving Father when he keeps us from what we really want. And in love, he says, it is best for me to be your everything. It is gain for me to be your everything. And so we covet what we don't have. Because God ultimately is not enough. We need to add something to this. We don't understand truly who God is. We don't understand what this the going after godliness produces in our life. And we lose out. As our contentment in God decreases, our desire for other things will increase. Everybody in this room who knows the Lord has had seasons where you're chasing after Christ with everything you have. And it's in those seasons you feel like you could literally give up anything and God would be enough. Those are the seasons where you want to walk downtown and take your shirt off and give it to somebody homeless because you're saying, I have Christ, I don't even need a shirt anymore. It's pouring down rain, he can have it, she can have it, I don't need it. And then there's other seasons where you are sitting and you've so gobbled up the world and you've so pushed yourself away from the Lord where everything that you have still doesn't seem like enough. And every situation you're in, you still are miserable, needing more, and then feeling like God's against you. And you sit in that and you love that season in that moment. And you play the biggest victim that God doesn't care about you, that you don't have enough. And so you even know, your own testimony can tell you, contentment in pursuing the Lord shows me that there is great gain. And then when I decide to walk away from the Lord, when I decide to push him away, I find myself desiring worldliness. And I'm no longer content in him. Our own testimonies can tell us that. And Scripture aligns with it. Turn with me to Psalms 119, verse 36. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. If there's one thing that we can learn from the Scriptures, well, there's plenty of things, but there's one thing that we can take from this, is the pursuit of godliness and the pursuit of contentment within that godliness is an active warfare. If you just simply wake up and think, because I'm a Christian now, I won't battle with the idea of pursuing the world, then you are dead wrong. And if you do not wake up saying, this is going to be a war that I have to fight with everything in me, then you are not going to set yourself up to win. And that's why in the scriptures there's this crying and this pouring out of self, of saying, Lord, walk with me. Give me a love for these things. Let me turn my heart from evil. Let me just simply pursue you. Why? Because I'm going to want to turn to evil. I'm going to want to go after materialism. I'm going to want to feed into my flesh. Lord, please walk with me and let me fight this fight. Give me your strength, not mine. There's one thing that coveting tells you. There's one thing that when contentment in Christ is not enough and I pursue something else, there's one great lie that it will confess to you. And that is that it will fill you up. It'll fill you up. It will tell you that lie all day. It will sneak it into your mind in your weakest moments. It'll sneak into your mind at all moments of the day. Why? Because it does not want you turning to Lord. Your flesh does not want you running to Christ for contentment. Your flesh does not want you to have gain. Why? Your flesh still wants you to go after death. And so it will tell you these things fill you up. And what it does is in moments where things are still not that bad, wanting a job is not bad. Having an enjoyable Saturday is not bad. Enjoying your friendships is not bad. But what it will do is when those things are still in a healthy place, when you simply want a job, when you are not on your guard and battling beforehand the thoughts of greed, the thoughts of owning something that you don't already have, the thought of deserving something that's not yours, if you do not begin battling before you even get to the war front, then there is going to be continual lies being just placed into your mind that you will get to a place where you will then say, but this job isn't enough. What I make now is not enough. The way that my friends treat me now is not enough. The way that my situation and my current relationship with my wife or husband, girlfriend or boyfriend, it is not enough for me. And all of a sudden, what you will be told is, but if you demand more, but if you have something that you currently don't have now, that will be enough. It will be enough. If you work hard enough, it will be enough. If you just go after that a little bit more, it will be enough. If you say no to this and yes to this over here, it will be enough. If you simply run to this instead of the Lord, it will be enough. Because here's the thing. There are wells all around you. There's wells. And what are wells? Things that you go after at times to seek to try to find life. And there's one well with living water in it. There's one well that gives you life. There's one well that gives you gain. There's one well that will give you everything your heart desires. To be loved, to have peace, to have a joy, to be content, to have life, to have eternity. And there's going to be a whole lot of wells that surround you, that they will have signs on them that say, we offer life, we offer a joy, a sense of it, we offer a sense of peace. And in your flesh, you will want to go to those wells and you will begin to try to grab a bucket to find out what's down there, and they will come up empty every time. They will come up empty. But the thing is, that sign will remain. And you'll leave it feeling empty, and enough time will go by that you'll look at that sign again and you'll say, but wait, maybe it does. I mean, it says that it's going to give me life. So maybe it will give me life. And so I'm going to go back to it. I'm going to find out that it's empty again. And there is but one source that is not empty, and that is the Lord. And so what is the answer to fight? We now wrap this up into a pretty bow. What is the answer to fight this contentment in worldly things, in materialism? Godliness. Godliness is how we fight this. We're all going to battle. We're all going to struggle with pursuing things that aren't the Lord. It's the truth. It's while you still remain in this earthly body and have the flesh, you're going to want other things. And the question is this: what are you going to do to fight it? What are you going to find a value in? And the scriptures tell us it's godliness, pursuing the Lord. Pursuing the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's what you're going to have to wrestle with. That's what you're going to have to walk with. And the question is, okay, then Chris, what is godliness? And I can now begin to just start to read the scriptures, and we could be here for 2 weeks just reading. Why? Because the scriptures are what is pursuing godliness. I have it up on your paper earlier. Godliness is a calling for all Christians to do what? To pursue godliness, to train in godliness, to study what it means to be godly, to seek the Lord, that he would fill us with godliness. So seek him, study, seek the word, be in prayer. Know that you have to go to war for it. Know that you have to study it. It will not just happen. You don't just wake up desiring godliness. You don't just wake up walking in godliness. I mentioned Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. The entire second half of the book is a book of what it means to live godly. Colossians, because of what Christ did and who he was, what it means to live godly. The Bible is what it means to live godly. So be in the scriptures. Know the word of God. If you value godliness, then you value the word of God. If you don't value the word of God, then you truly don't value godliness. They go hand in hand. You can't miss that. If you desire the word of God, then you can grow in godliness. If this does not have value, you will not understand the value and you will not walk in godliness. And so my challenge for everybody tonight as we wrap up and leave. It's one thing to stand and speak with your mouth that you desire godliness, that your God is everything, that you love the word of God. And it's entirely different to say, I'm going to walk in godliness. I'm going to walk in the value of the scriptures. And you're going to see it with my life. Who are you going to be in 6 months? Who are you going to be in a year? Who are you going to be tomorrow? Because you could grow in all the theology you want in 6 months. You could take some classes and you could speak Greek fluently. You could understand all of the New Testament. And if you decide that you're not going to walk in it, then what good is it? What value is it? Is it being done in faith or is it being done in your flesh for all of that? Be about it. Walk it out. Show the value of it with your life. And show the value of godliness. With contentment is great gain. For you will take out what you brought in. You brought nothing in. You came into the world naked. You're going to leave that way. So what are you storing up for yourself? What are you valuing? I'm going to pray for us, and then we will be finished for the night. Lord, I thank you for the scriptures tonight, and I thank you just for the very words that godliness with contentment is great gain. I pray that all of us would grow in this. I pray that all of us would grow in our fear of you. I pray that we would be humbled before you, that we would be willing to look at any area of our life and recognize, have I given this area to you, and have I given it fully to you that I might pursue godliness in every area? I want to hold nothing back from you, and then let my life show that. I don't want to just talk, but I want to walk, and I want to do that. I want my actions and my life to show that. I pray and thank you for this time. Thank you for your grace and your love. I pray this in your holy, holy name. Amen.